Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. Back in October, I sent out a brief email commentary responding to a report in the Mormon publication Deseret News. It was an article dated October 21st, 2013. Now, the topic of that article was a speaking appearance by Dr. Albert Mohler, Jr. at the Mormon Brigham Young University. And before I read you my short commentary and then give you some facts behind the Mohler appearance, I just want to read most of the article I mentioned. Now remember, this is from a Mormon publication. Here we go. LDS church apostles and leaders of other faiths increasingly are cultivating relationships with one another, a process recently accelerated by shared concerns over religious liberty. Mentioning what he termed his friendship with LDS officials, a Baptist leader on Monday gave what once might have been considered a unique speech at BYU, saying that while Mormons and evangelicals are divided theologically, they share, quote, common concerns and urgencies, unquote, about, quote, unprecedented and ominous, unquote, attacks on religious freedom. I do not believe that we are going to heaven together, but I do believe we may go to jail together, said R. Albert Mohler during a speech to nearly 400 students and faculty in an almost full varsity theater in the Wilkinson Student Center. He later added, only those with the deepest beliefs and even the deepest differences can help each other against the encroaching threat to religious liberty, marriage, and the family. Now I'm reading excerpts. Mohler said, it has been my great privilege to know friendships and share conversation with leaders of the LDS Church, such as Elder Tom Perry, Elder Quinton Cook, and Elder Todd Christofferson. Now, when I quoted Albert Mohler, sharing friendships with Mormon leaders, did it not come into your mind what it says in 2 Corinthians, for instance, chapter 6? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? I mean, stop and think about what Dr. Mohler said there. I'll repeat it. He said, it has been my great privilege to know friendship and share conversation with leaders of the LDS Church, such as Elder Tom Perry, Elder Quinton Cook, and Elder Todd Christofferson. Well, I assume my listeners know the breathtaking spiritual perversion and God-mocking, Christ-mocking, Scripture-mocking blasphemy which constitutes the doctrines of the Mormon Church. Yet here, you have Al Mohler saying that he considers leaders and teachers, elders of the church, the Mormon church, he considers these deceivers of millions, these obvious, open enemies of God our Father, of Christ Jesus our Lord, and of the Holy Spirit, our teacher, comforter, and guide, I say open in that their doctrine is easy to access and see that they are obvious enemies of God our Father, of Christ Jesus, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, Al Mohler considers such out-and-out religious wolves masquerading as Christians before the whole world his friends. And further, it's his privilege to be their friends. Going on, in 2004, evangelical leader Ravi Zacharias, introduced by Richard Mao, of the Fuller Theological Seminary, spoke at the Mormon Tabernacle in Salt Lake City. Well, stopping again, we remember that well. I spent quite a bit of time on more than one Heart of the Matter program talking about that and against it, and also an organization that was behind it, which is called Standing Together, which we'll talk about in just a little bit here. I remember all the excuses made for Zacharias at that time as well. Continuing on here in this article, in 2010, Cardinal Francis George spoke to 12,000 people at a BYU campus forum about the need for both Catholics and Mormons to stand together to protect the ability of individuals and groups to practice their religion in the public square. Last month, BYU separately hosted prominent Christian leaders Richard Land, president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary, and George Wood, general superintendent of the Assemblies of God. Both met with LDS church officials, and each spoke as part of the Faith, Family, and Society lecture series that Mohler joined Monday. I believe it's the year of the evangelical at BYU, said Greg Johnson, president of Standing Together, a ministry that seeks unity among Utah's evangelical churches and facilitates evangelical LDS dialogues. These three are nationally known, highly regarded opinion makers. What excites us is that these lectures arose from institutional invitations. This was done by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints at the highest levels. As a former Latter-day Saint who had a brother-in-law graduate from BYU, I say these are very much new days and good days. Now remember that name, Greg Johnson. I'm going to get back to him shortly. Going on in the article, in January, the Deseret News has confirmed Zacharias will return to Temple Square to speak from the Tabernacle pulpit again. He also will appear at BYU as part of the same lecture series as Land, Wood, and Moeller. Moeller will return to BYU on February 25th to deliver a nationally televised campus forum address. Now stop there. What Moeller is going to be doing will be televised nationally. For the whole world, well, the whole nation, to see. He's going to be deceiving the whole nation, so to speak. Those who are without Christ will just see a man who has some differences with these people. They'll see an evangelical, a Christian leader, and they'll see him having this fellowship and friendship with these Mormon leaders. And they'll just see it as two types of Christians. And whatever disclaimer Moeller might offer, if any, well, this is going to go right over the head of those in the world, no doubt. I mean, if he offers some tepid, I don't believe this, this, or this, and then goes on and talks about this warm friendship and fellowship and working together. But anyway, that's going to be nationally televised. These guys are going to take hits, Johnson said, but they are gaining help for this cause. What cause? Well, we'll fill you in on the cause. Standing Together's cause is definitely about breaking down the barriers and the walls between evangelicalism and Mormonism. Let me go on. Moeller clearly stated his doctrinal differences with Mormons, perhaps as an effort to blunt criticism for a man Time.com called the reigning intellectual of the evangelical movement in the U.S. This is what brings me to Brigham Young University today. I'm not here because I believe we're going to heaven together. I don't believe that. I believe that salvation comes only to those who believe and trust only in Christ and in his substitutionary atonement for salvation. I believe in justification by faith alone and Christ alone. I love and respect you as friends, and as friends, we would speak only what we believe to be true, especially on matters of eternal significance. We inhabit separate and irreconcilable theological worlds made clear with the doctrine of the Trinity, and yet I am here and gladly so. We will speak to one another of what we most sincerely believe to be true, precisely because we love and respect one another. I do not believe that we are going to heaven together, but I do believe we may go to jail together. I come in the hope of much further conversations about urgent both temporal and eternal. And Moeller also met, it says, with faculty from BYU's Department of Religious Education. Now listen well to this. This statement is from a BYU church history professor, Richard Neitzel. Boy, I'll just spell his last name, H-O-L-Z-A-P-F-E-L. But listen to what he says. This is a BYU professor. I was impressed with his, that is Moeller's, ability to talk with our university community in such a focused way without being distracted by obvious theological differences that exist between our separate faith traditions. Now, that was a loaded sentence. That's what they call a mouthful. He said a mouthful. He's impressed that Moeller wouldn't be distracted by the obvious theological differences. No, just, you know, put in your disclaimer, set it to the side, and away we go. The professor says our differences that exist between our separate faith traditions. That's the same kind of terminology that Rome uses with regard to the so-called separated brethren, evangelicals. Oh, it's just faith traditions. That's what it is, faith traditions. There's a number of other statements here. We also have Russ Robinson, pastor of Provo's First Baptist Church, Provo, Utah, of course. He said he was excited by Mohler's message. I think we'd better be able to work together for common ground if we honestly and openly talk about our differences, too. That honesty and respect would help us to engage more on issues we have in common, like marriage and family. So it's the old siren song, the siren call there of common ground. Now, I know that there will be Christians who exonerate Dr. Mohler from all wrongdoing because he issued his disclaimer as to the differences, a very brief disclaimer, even incomplete one, I suppose, but he hit some major points, of course. Differences in doctrine between Mormonism and Christianity. Well, this is all the rage now. I mean, what matters is what saith the Lord? Should he have been there in the first place? And this is all the rage, to justify utterly ignoring what the scriptures command concerning fellowship with false religions which trample underfoot the word of God and which make mockery of the precious blood and the righteousness and the person of Christ and so forth. To just justify such unfaithfulness by either claiming to have preached the gospel during the particular minister's time of spiritual fornication, or to do as Mohler has done, to point out to the false religionists that you have doctrinal differences with them. And then go on. Just go on and speak of common ground and unity and warm friendships and fellowship and respect and love. And a watching world sees it as two Christian denominations who simply have some differences, really differences which are no big deal. And the unwary and the untaught and the immature among the Lord's church, well, they really see the same thing. They're desensitized to the utter horror of Mormonism. And the Mormon people, well, they feel justified in their religion. For after all, there's Al Mohler or fill in the blank, some other evangelical fellowshipping right there, for instance, on their own campus, or worshiping and praying as Zacharias did in the tabernacle in Salt Lake City and so forth and so on, and having close fellowship and warm friendship with their Mormon elders. They just feel justified in their religion, for after all, as the scriptures declare, Amos 3, the verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed. Now, after reading that article, but being in the middle of a very busy time, I sent out a very short email commentary. I say when the article came out that I just read from, I then quick, you might say, dashed off a commentary and sent that out. It's posted at our church website, specifically on our page, which contains articles on New Calvinism. But I want to just read that commentary because it's, I think, by the grace of God, it's fairly succinct and straightforward. Dear friends, I'm providing here a link to an article which was posted at Deseret News, October 21st, 2013. It is a report of Dr. Albert Mohler's relationship with LDS officials and his recent speaking engagement at the Mormon Brigham Young University. I believe in civil and religious liberty. I believe Christians should stand against the persecution of anyone. But Al Mohler is playing right into the hands of the devil when he cultivates friendships with LDS officials, speaks of respect for them, and gives speeches at BYU when the Word of God forbids it. For instance, James chapter 4, verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. The Mormons are thrilled to have this very influential evangelical desensitize other evangelicals to the utter wickedness of Mormonism, regardless of any statements he makes about differences in doctrine. Mohler's actions empty his mild clarification of credibility and effect. So the LDS officials and the devil give such statements from their good friend a wink and a nod, knowing the greater good which is being accomplished for Mormonism and the corruption of evangelicals. I mean, the LDS publication Deseret News even includes his quotes in its story. Say, Al, I would just mention here that the scriptures nowhere tell ministers to have fellowship with and cultivate working friendships with the leaders of false religions masquerading as Christian. No, Quite the opposite is true. By the way, the organization Standing Together exists for the purpose of breaking down walls between the LDS and Christianity. So thanks, Al. Thanks for this. Thanks also for signing the Manhattan Declaration. Thanks for muddying the waters concerning the sin of homosexuality, and so forth. I suppose a big thank you is also due to Dr. John MacArthur, who is once again having his dear friend Al Mohler, along with other new Calvinists such as Mark Deaver, speak at the 2014 Shepherds Conference. Oh, the wretched irony, but growing commonplace nature of it. Unfaithful shepherds preaching at the Shepherds Conference. And of course, I signed it, Ralph Ovidal, and we sent that out. Now, I thought you might be interested in hearing just a little more than about the Standing Together organization and movement, which is a key player in this effort to bring evangelicals and Mormons together, including using such events as the Mohler appearance at BYU, and of course his upcoming appearance there as well. Back in 2004 and then 2005, beginning with the Ravi Zacharias speaking engagement in the Mormon Tabernacle in Salt Lake City, we used a number of Heart of the Matter programs to alert our listeners and to inform them about this Standing Together organization and movement. Now, I was going to replay some excerpts from those programs today, but I believe it might just be best to present some facts, the facts as they stand right now and from primary sources. And just by way of providing insight into this growing LDS evangelical dialogue, friendship, fellowship movement, I mean, shades of evangelicals and Catholics together. But I'm going to read from another article. This is from Religion News Service, October 30th, 2013. It's titled, Evangelical Visits to BYU Single a New Evangelical Mormon Detente. Now, here's my usual disclaimer. This is not an endorsement of Religion News Service as to their doctrine, their ministry practices, philosophy, and so forth. This is an accurate story, and we're accessing them as a news source only. So always beware, whatever the group or whatever the organization, you want to always be careful. What are you dealing with here? Let's read some of this article. Last month, after being sure to get his caffeine fix at Starbucks, Southern Baptist leader Richard Land went where few evangelicals have dared to go before, the campus of Brigham Young University, the intellectual heart of Mormonism. After lecturing on family, faith, freedom, and America, Land attended a BYU football game with Mormon leaders and joined them to hear James Taylor sing with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Days later, George O. Wood, well, it goes on to say that Wood came, the superintendent of the Assemblies of God, and also Mohler came, no sense in being redundant here, and it talks about this new detente between evangelicals and Mormons and how it appears to have reached a new juncture, with some on both sides seeing benefits to it. We have a quote here from Richard Mao, the former, now president of Fuller Theological Seminary, and of course, as it says here, a longtime proponent of evangelical Mormon dialogue. Yes, an active proponent. Here's what Mao says. There is a significant part of the evangelical movement that is now having healthy and friendly conversations, and it's gone from a group of two dozen scholars talking to each other to church leaders meeting each other, going to see each other. Now, just to pause here, Richard Mao is an exceedingly evil man. He's an apostate who, among other wicked endeavors he's been involved in, has been a key player in the Standing Together movement. He was deeply involved with that 2004 appearance by Ravi Zacharias in the Mormon Tabernacle in Salt Lake City. It was called a Night of Friendship. And during this time, of course, Zacharias spoke, and he sat up on the stage with Mormon elders and with Mao. And also Mormons and evangelicals sang hymns together and were involved in prayer together. And by the way, the Mormon elders who were on the stage, on the platform with Ravi Zacharias, had nothing but praise for the message that he preached. Well, in this article, we're now looking at John Taylor, it says, director of interfaith relations for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, said there is a growing sense that Mormons and non-Mormons can agree in some areas. There's a realization among faith groups generally that despite doctrinal differences, and we have doctrinal differences, there's no question about that, we do have areas of commonality, said Taylor. Now, it speaks here in the article of how this outreach has gone both ways. It says in September, Taylor, again, now he's an official with The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, joined two members of the LDS Church's Quorum of the 12 Apostles at the Washington installation of Russell Moore, who succeeded Land as head of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Then, skipping down a little further, says Bob Millett, a BYU religion professor, who suggested the evangelical visitors to the LDS officials said the rapprochement helps Mormons. Helps Mormons. Well, it does help Mormons, and it helps them a great deal or they wouldn't be doing it. It helps them a great deal when people like Al Mohler are willing to have warm friendships with the elders of the Mormon Church, the very people who mock Christ, who trample over the Word of God, who trample over the blood and righteousness and deity of Christ, who trample over God Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who have all sorts of warped, weird, perverted doctrines, who lead astray millions, keep them in spiritual darkness. Yes, when Al Mohler is willing to have warm friendships with such men, what about Christ? How could you stand to have warm friendships with such men as that? But at any rate, this Bob Millett is a key central player and leader along with Greg Johnson in the Standing Together movement. Let me just read a little bit more. Stay with me here. I know it's hard to listen to someone reading, but we'll read a little more. As Mormons continue to work toward greater acceptance and visibility, from Mitt Romney's White House bid to a category of questions on Jeopardy, they are more likely to have, here it comes, tangible benefits from this engagement, said Stephen Webb, author of the new book, Mormon Christianity, What Other Christians Can Learn from the Latter-day Saints. Yes, and if there's tangible benefits from a category of questions on Jeopardy, how much more so from evangelical leaders such as Al Mohler joining together for these events we've been talking about and for this warm fellowship. In other words, Mormonism is being mainstreamed as a Christian denomination, and that's what this is all about. Now, this man goes on to say, it's not just the fact that evangelicals are being more curious about Mormons and being more willing to listen to them and learn from them, but it's also a matter of the Mormon leadership itself wanting to be part of the American Christian mainstream. Gregory Johnson, co-founder of Standing Together, a Utah group of evangelical pastors, has given dozens of presentations with BYU's Millett called A Mormon and Evangelical in Conversation. He dubbed the recent get-togethers, quote, the year of the evangelical at BYU, unquote. Some scholars credit colleagues such as Johnson, Millett, and Mao with the thaw in relations. All right, we'll stop there. That's enough reading for now. And, of course, they're right to credit Johnson, Millett, and Mao with being the key players in this. Now, what I propose to do is just give you some brief, hard, factual information very relevant to the cozy friendship and fellowship between LDS church officials and men like Albert Mohler, a growing number of evangelical leaders. In the text of the two articles I just read, you heard the names of Gregory Johnson, Robert Millett, and Richard Mao, these three central key players in this growing movement to break down the walls of separation between evangelicalism and the Christ-mocking false religion of Mormonism. Well, this Greg Johnson grew up as a Mormon, but he's now an ordained evangelical pastor, and he's the president of Standing Together. The man is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. One has to wonder if he's not still a Mormon at heart, masquerading Jesuit-like as an evangelical minister. Robert Millett, a Mormon and a professor at Brigham Young University, of course, is co-laborer with Johnson in this Standing Together movement. So is Richard Mao. I've already spoke briefly of him. Now, these three men have worked very closely together for years, desensitizing evangelicals to the utter blasphemy and vile God-mocking, Christ-mocking wickedness of Mormonism and comforting Mormons in their spiritual darkness and bondage and condemnation, and strengthening the hands of these Mormon elders with whom Al Mohler has now entered into a warm, close, public friendship. Now, I'm going to just share some things from the Standing Together website. I'm just going to sort of go through some of these things and grab a few things here. This Standing Together is the key player in this whole movement, which Al Mohler is now entangled in. Now, in this information, you're going to hear the true goal of the movement, which should be obvious to any discerning Christian. Any time a false religion, a deeply wicked, corrupt, blasphemous, anti-God, anti-Bible religion invites evangelical leaders and ministers, oh, come over and talk to us. Come on in. We want to be your friends. We want to do things with you. They pick and choose who they invite, of course. Of course, no faithful minister should even take up that invitation. But those that do, they're not afraid of them. They don't mind if they issue a few little disclaimers. If they can get them to blatantly disobey what the Bible says, then others will follow, and they will desensitize evangelicals and the whole world to the wickedness, to the deception, to the darkness, to the blasphemy of, in this case, Mormonism. Now, this Gregory Johnson, we're on the website here, or at least I have some things printed off from the website. I'm not going to read it all. He is the founder and president, the current president as well, of this Standing Together. We have all of his background here, the churches he's served in as pastor. And what you see stressed over and over is he's committed. It says it's in his heart to see the body of Christ committed to unity, that the world might know that the Father has truly sent the Son. Well, he might say, well, certainly, I'm just out among these evangelical churches trying to unite them. No, Standing Together is about uniting Mormons and evangelicals. That's the big push, bringing them together. Whatever else he's doing, that's what this is all about. Tells what Greg has been involved in, served as at-large board member of the National Association of Evangelicals since 2008. It seems like just about so many different, you know, false ministers, or I should say wolves in sheep's clothing, I guess, and compromisers and corruptors are involved with that organization. But anyway, let's see what else we have here. He's passionate about building dialogue with members of the Mormon faith. It talks about he has his vision for unity, for the body of Christ to be one. Well, then why are you working so hard to bring the body of Christ and Mormonism together? And it talks about his sidekick here, his co-laborer, Dr. Robert Millett of BYU, and all the things they've done together for so many years now. I'm under the vision part of Standing Together on the website, and we'll just read one thing. Vision, advancing biblical unity and spiritual transformation in Utah. Again, put that in the context of this Greg Johnson putting on all these public events with Robert Millett of BYU, including they've had 60 public dialogues around the country in Canada and England, and including these, you know, pushing for these events that, for instance, Mohler was part of, advancing biblical unity. Under mission, again, put that in the context of what this is all about. Standing Together seeks to be a catalyst for uniting the Utah Christian community. Under values, it talks about unprecedented unity is what's the aim here, how that'll contribute to healthier local churches and transform lives by the thousands. And then right under that, a little ways, they're going to accomplish this. Apparently, this is what their goal is, at least in part, accomplish it by large-scale transformational events, such as Ravi Zacharias speaking at the LDS Tabernacle in 2004. So it's pretty clear what this is all about that Al Mohler and others are wrapped up in. It's pretty clear, isn't it, what Standing Together is about. And then, of course, what Al Mohler is about and these others linking up with Mormons. Now, Standing Together has a very large board of advisors, and each member of the board is listed on the website along with his title, the organization or church or college that he represents. And then there's a comment from him. Now, we don't have time to read all of these. There's so many of them. But I want to read just some of the names and their comments. And I want to do this by way of more insight into the true heart of this growing evangelical Mormon dialogue, friendship, fellowship, this breaking down the walls between the evangelical church and this false Christian denomination or church. Now, of course, on the board of advisors, we have, well, there's Dr. Ravi Zacharias, Dr. George O. Wood from the Assemblies of God, but there's a number of people here. And you would recognize if I read some of their names, and you'd recognize, you know, the denomination or the ministry or the university or college and so on and so forth. But we're just going to read a few people here, their names and their comment, or at least part of their comment, if nothing else. We have here Leith Anderson, President, National Association of Evangelicals. Is there any surprise there that he would be wrapped up with this Standing Together and be on their advisory board? I mean, that's Leith Anderson. He joined Moeller and others involved with the evangelical Mormon movement in signing the Manhattan Declaration. I mean, this is Leith Anderson. This is standard for him. He says, standing shows respect. Together communicates friendship. Standing together respectfully shows friendship based on the love and truth of Jesus Christ in the Bible. So he says, this is all about us getting together with Mormons. And our friendship is based on what? The Bible and the love and truth, the truth of Jesus Christ in the Bible. And he talks about his time with Greg Johnson and standing together. And he says, what did I experience? Biblical conviction, warm relationships, mutual respect, candid communications. And we go on here, and here's the president of the Worldwide Church of God. Here's Dr. Paul Cedar, chairman of the Mission America Coalition. Here's many others. Here's David Neff, editor of Christianity Today, an apostate publication. He talks about Greg Johnson being a bridge builder. And of course, he is a bridge builder. He's building bridges between Mormonism and evangelicals. He's a bridge builder. He talks about this fresh, gracious, uncompromising ray of new hope that apparently Greg Johnson standing together shine, you know, and as they bring together, he says, as an ambassador for the evangelical church, as they bring together, of course, then Mormonism and evangelicals. Well, we have others here. Here's, no surprise, Dr. Jerry Root, Associate Director, Billy Graham Institute for Strategic Evangelism. And, of course, he's also involved then with, he's the director of Wheaton Evangelism Institute, Wheaton College, and he's an associate professor, we're told here. Listen to this, though. Standing together is true to its vision of advancing biblical unity. And then he goes on. Yes, biblical unity. Through all of this dialogue, through bringing together the Mormons and the evangelicals and breaking down biblical walls that are supposed to separate them. Here's, who is this from? Oh, Richard Mao. Again, he says, standing together embodies the spirit of Christian unity at its best. Now, I'm just reading without reading the whole statements every time, but you're hearing the truth. This is what this is about. This Standing Together movement, this Standing Together organization, these events that Al Moeller is involved in and others. We have a number of names here. Let's skip down through. I'll give you just one more. One more quote. You can look these up yourself. Here's Standing Together Advisory Board member Dr. Francis J. Beckwith, professor of ethics and law, Baylor University. Now, does that ring a bell for you? Francis J. Beckwith. He's a Roman Catholic. He's a bona fide Roman Catholic. And he says standing together is a model for Christian ministry, upholding truth without compromising, displaying a Christian witness that is attractive, winsome, intelligent, and gracious. It's been an honor to work with Standing Together and its mission to engage in dialogue with those who have different points of view. It's just different points of view. But there's a Roman Catholic involved. So there's a Roman Catholic involved with this. You have the Catholics, you have the Evangelicals, and you have the Mormons. And that's what this is. That gives you some insight into this movement. Well, we'll stop right there. I'm sure most of you listeners know why Albert Mohler and other evangelicals are just dead wrong. I say they are scripturally wrong, and therefore they are unfaithful and disobedient to join in fellowship with the officials of the Mormon Church, with the elders of the Mormon Church, and with other officials and the people themselves, as we've been talking about. They are wrong. The Bible is clear, and we've talked about so many times, it's so clear that we're not to get into those situations, those relationships. We're not to do these things with false religionists and false religions. We're not to have anything to do with them in the way that Al Mohler and others have been having to do with the Mormon Church. But the scriptures also command the Lord's people to separate from then such men as Al Mohler, unless and until they repent and reform of their ways. To give just two examples from the scriptures to undergird what I'm saying. Romans chapter 16, the verses 17 and 18. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Just two scripture passages I could give of many more. And I have given them in the past, of course, in sermons and on the heart of the matter and preached on them in sermons. But it's just a disgrace today that so few ministers and so few among the Lord's people are willing to faithfully put in practice what the scriptures teach concerning separation from unfaithful ministers. From unfaithful ministers. Yes, some might separate from false religions, but then what about those who refuse to? Other ministers refuse to obey the scriptures and separate from them until they repent. There's just so few ministers and so few among the Lord's people who are willing to faithfully put in practice what the scriptures teach concerning separating from unfaithful ministers, and in truth, going on to contend for the faith against them, warn against them, and contend for the faith against them. Those who walk in fellowship with men such as Al Mohler share in some measure in that man's sin. The sin of such men in their rebellion, in their stubborn rejection in practice of the simple, clear commands of God with regard to having nothing to do with false religions and spiritual darkness. 1 Samuel 15, the verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Well, we do not have time to preach on that text. I did bring it up in my sermon last Sunday, and the whole basis of it is this: rejecting the word of the Lord. Maybe, you know, giving lip service to it, but in practice rejecting it, as Al Mohler and many other, well, all new Calvinist ministers are doing. And this is just rebellion. It's so evil. It says a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness. That is, in rejecting the word of the Lord, is as iniquity and idolatry. It's a setting up of an idol in the man's heart, and that idol is himself. He reads the word of God, and he says, no, I am going to do what I want to do. I can make up an excuse, I can make up a reason, I can justify it. I am going to do what I want to do, and therefore he becomes the idol he set up in his own heart, his lusts, his desires, maybe his good cause, but he's still rejecting the word of the Lord. But Dr. Al Mohler, we've been talking about him, he's just one of many such celebrity pastors. And if you want more information about a number of new Calvinist celebrity ministers and their bold disobedience, you can find it at our Pilgrim's Covenant Church website, www.pccmonroe.org. Now, I didn't set out today, as I have so many other times, to systematically address from the scriptures the whole the whole teaching of the scriptures on separation, but I just wanted to alert you as to what's been happening with this growing movement, this standing together movement, and to provide you with some facts and some insight into it so you'll be equipped to contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. It's just evangelicals and Catholics together all over again. And let me just close with this warning. Unfaithfulness to Christ and disobedience to the Word of God will never, ever do one thing to counter the growing tyranny of civil government and to protect our religious, even our civil liberties. Quite the contrary. That tyranny is growing because of the decades-long, widespread spiritual downgrade and falling away from the Word of God among evangelicals, and that truly is the heart of the matter.